Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining me today. I am Mandy Rosniak of Inner Winning Coaching, and I'm coming to you from Marlborough, Connecticut. And today's show is my show that I have on twice a month on the first and third Friday, and it's Train Your Brain to Up Your Game with Coach Mandy. As I said, I'll be here on Life Coach Radio Network on the first and third Friday of each month at noon. So I'm so glad to have you join me today, and I would encourage you to call in with any thoughts, questions, or comments. And the number is 646-716-9397. And to tell you a little bit about myself, I'm a life coach that specializes in peak performance, leadership, and transition coaching. I love working with athletes and motivated individuals because I love to help them maximize their potential both on and off the field, in and out of the classroom, in and out of the workplace, or just in general on their lives by helping them reduce the pressures they face, develop that confidence everybody wants and needs, and also just consistently perform at your best. I want to also help you boldly face all those life transitions that show up at our doorstep, whether we're ready for them or not. And as we work together, we ignite your inner greatness so you can live and play fearless, focused, and free. You can contact me at my, or more information about me at my website, which is coachmandy.com. My email is mandy at coachmandy.com. I'm also on Facebook at Inner Winning Coaching, and also on Twitter at Life Coach Mandy. So that's a little bit about me. And again, I thank you for joining me here today. A lot of what I'm talking about here with the Train Your Brain to Up Your Game is, and as I've already stated, I do some work primarily with athletes, but also just people in general who are just looking to get the best out of themselves, be as motivated as possible. And the work I'm doing here with the radio show is I'm looking to try to look beyond the skills and drills of sports, beyond the just the winning and losing aspect, and dig a little bit deeper. So today, I wanted to shift gears a bit and talk about the energy and the feelings behind some of the hot topics in today's sports world. Usually I don't really go into so much that's going on in the headlines of sports, but there was a few things that took place this week that I was listening to that I thought to myself, wow, what a great way to get into some discussion and dig that a little bit deeper. And what really got me thinking about this was all the talk swirling around the Alex Rodriguez suspension and his and everyone else's reaction to it. And I thought everyone always focuses on what is happening, what the issue is, but no one goes deeper, no one digs deeper as to the energy and the feelings behind so much of what happens in sports. And I feel that also translates into what happens into the rest of our lives. And that's exactly what I'm trying to do, is get the message to deliver that it's about going again beyond the skills and drills of sports and about more than just winning or losing. Because obviously in sports, you win, you're great, you lose, you're bad. And so I want to dig a little bit deeper and try to, pull away some of that and, dispel some of those myths. And like I said, maybe some people out there who aren't the biggest of sports fans, maybe they can look a little bit deeper at it, look at it a little bit differently. And if you're not a big sports fan, that's okay. There's still a lot to be learned from this because it can help you look at your life a bit differently. You can look at your life under the layers of what you do on the surface. And if someone can walk away today looking at or thinking about what and how they do things just a bit differently or with a greater sense of awareness, then to me, that's a huge win-win. So today we're going to be talking about a couple different issues. First, we're going to be looking at Alex Rodriguez and his issues around his suspension, then we're going to be moving into, do you have to win a championship to be considered the best? A lot of discussion going on around that topic this week with the whole Peyton Manning going up against Tom Brady discussion with the football coming up this week. And then also going to dive into a little bit about kids playing multiple games in a day and who is it really for. So, like I said, these are three topics we're going to be diving into, looking at today. And like I said, if you're not a sports fan, please hang on. Don't go away, because we're going to be digging a little bit deeper and going to be looking at stuff that I fully believe is going to be translatable into your life as well. So if you haven't heard about Alex Rodriguez and the issue behind him, he's a baseball player who plays for the Yankees who just was suspended for the entire 2014 season for using performance-enhancing drugs. Last Sunday night, there was a big story on 60 Minutes about it. They had the person who is the doctor who supplied him all the drugs and everything, and the whole discussion around it about his being suspended for the whole season. And now the issue that came up for this is that A-Rod, as he's known, Alex Rodriguez's nickname is A-Rod, as he's known, has absolutely claimed his innocence. Been found guilty of a drug test. It's never come back as positive. Yet there's all this information and all these all the evidence that points to the fact that he has done this. And one fact that was brought out this week is the fact that usually when people are doing some of these things, they're a step ahead of the drug testing and stuff like that. But we're not going to get into the minutia behind that. We're going to be looking at, like I said, digging a little bit deeper. But his issue, like I said, is he's claimed he's absolutely innocent, and now he's not only suing Major League Baseball, but he's also suing the Players Union because he feels this has been a witch hunt. Everyone has had it out for him from the beginning, and no one supports him. So I just want to repeat that. One of the things is he's felt that everyone has had it out for him from the beginning, no one supports him, and he feels like it's a witch hunt. He was quoted in Sports Illustrated as saying, "I think that this year, 2014, the league could have done me a favor because I've played 20 years without a timeout." Now, these are some of the statements that really got me thinking about this topic because I felt these statements at a deeper level. I could feel the energy behind what he was saying. And as a coach who came through the IPEC coaching program, we specialize in core energy coaching, which is all about the energy behind our thoughts, our feelings, and our actions. And as soon as I heard his statements, all I could say to myself is he is so filled with catabolic, negative victim energy. Here is this guy who has more money than people could ever dream of for being an athlete who's very, very talented at throwing and hitting a baseball. And he just sort of, throughout the years, I've just sort of have felt he sort of exudes this sort of this victim energy. And victim energy is really all about poor me. Feels like you have no choice, no one values you, and you take things very, very personally. And Alex Rodriguez has always been a very talented player. From when he was in high school, he was a highly touted player. And yet as I've watched him through the years and just listened to him talk and his interactions, I just have never felt that he's ever been comfortable in his own skin. I've often said that if A-Rod had the confidence and the demeanor of Derek Jeter, another great Yankees baseball player, he would have been phenomenal because his physical skills and abilities were so above everyone else. A-Rod was born with the physical talents, yet there was something I think always held him back. You know, physically, A-Rod had more skill than Derek Jeter. But Jeter has those intangibles that just allow him to always bring out his best. He has completely maximized everything all the time. Derek Jeter is just known as the ultimate team player. He's always saying the right thing, very positive, looking at it as to how he's responsible for what he does. So what it is about someone from, you know, so what is it about from looking at it from the outside that, you know, I've felt about A-Rod is just when he talks, there's just this sense of appreciated. He never gets the notoriety that he kind of feels he has, and yet at one point he had the largest contract in Major League Baseball history. So someone felt he was doing something right and wanted to reward him. So what is it about someone who everyone from the outside feels has everything, yet all his fame and fortune does not change the internal message, does not change his personal sense of worth? Now, that has been my belief, as I was saying. I felt that A-Rod has never felt worthy or valued by others because for some reason he just doesn't feel it for himself, which is why he sort of drops into this like victim mode that no one appreciates me energy. And, you know, again, it has affected his play. Could it be why he felt compelled at some point that the only way for me to keep up, the only way for me to stay in the, you know, stay in the forefront of my game is to, you know, take these performance-enhancing drugs? Obviously, no one will never know. But it just, like I said, it just seems like he always comes from this place of, you know, why me? No one appreciates me. And even now, you know, there's no sense of responsibility. There's no sense of, yes, I did this. And not even necessarily having to own it and admit it, but it's the fact that he's still reflecting back out to everyone, and he's coming back out after everyone because it's not me, it's poor me, and all these things. And like I said, that's what kind of just got me thinking about this, you know, the energy that he's putting out and the feelings behind all this. So my question to you, listeners, here's some questions to sort of think about for yourself. Question one, how well do you value yourself? You know, think about that for a little bit, or, you know, when you're driving in the car, you know, how well do you value yourself? And how worthy do you feel? Does life tend to happen to you, or are you in charge of your life? And as I reflect back to this situation with Alec Rodriguez, again, here is a man who money has never been an issue, and so often people feel that if only I had more money, things would be better. If only I had more money, things would be different. And yet he has the financial stature. He has the financial backing where he can do basically anything he wants. Yet there seems to be this compelling level of self-worth and value. So that's why, again, I ask you to look at yourself. How well do you value yourself, and how worthy do you feel? Because it's not about the money. You could get all the money in the world tomorrow, and some of these same issues and questions will still come up, which, again, is why I kind of was feeling this way and wanted to talk about this. Another question, does life happen to you, or are you in charge of your life? That's where we talk about this victim energy. And a lot of times victim energy sort of gets lost. People get stuck on that word victim. They hear the word victim, and all of a sudden they cringe, and I think they tend to think or go down that line of like violent crime or things like that. But think of victim as being more you're victim to a thought or an experience or something that happens to you. So it's more of a something that happening to you versus you being in control of what's going on with you. So again, does life happen to you, or are you in charge of your life? What are the thoughts and feelings that come up for you when something doesn't quite go your way? And this goes back to, as I was talking about the victim feelings and what I was saying, what they are. Do you feel a victim to it? Again, as if it's happening to you, as if you have no choice. So, you know, do you feel a victim to it, or do you take responsibility for it? Do you look for the opportunity in it, or are you happy just for the experience? So I'll ask that again. What are the thoughts and feelings that come up for you when something doesn't quite go your way? Think of something that maybe happened. It just had the holidays pass, and, you know, holidays, there's always a lot of things that are built up around what's going on there and how things should go or might go, or based on family visits or giving of gifts. So what are some thoughts and feelings that come up for you when something doesn't quite go your way? Do you feel a victim to it? Do you take responsibility for it? Do you look for the opportunity in it, or are you just happy for the experience? Those are some questions to sort of keep in the back of your mind when something does happen, because each one of those actually generates a different thought and feeling pattern, which is going to then also lead to your actions. Because your thoughts and feelings behind what goes on in your life all lead to the actions you take. So, you know, again, you talk about the situation with Alex Rodriguez here, and, you know, it's not about necessarily him having to admit that he did this, but instead of sort of owning any part of this, with all the evidence that came against him, he's immediately feeling as if this is being done to him, being done at him, and now he's lashing back instead of just sort of like, you know, letting it go. And it's not to say to fight for what's not, if something's not right in your life, or to make sure that, you know, you're honoring your truth. Yet it's just unfortunate that there's a lot of evidence that is built up around this situation. So, you know, his reaction to it has just been, you know, fight, 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 poor me, poor me, why me, why me. So these questions and answers, like I said, all have different energy. And whether you know it or not, you have a choice and you are in control of it. Now, as Alex Rodriguez moves forward and continues to fight for his ability to play, he does have the opportunity to look within. And if he changes his perceptions and beliefs about his life, he could shift his feelings and he could shift his energy. Yet step one will be taking responsibility for where he is and stop being in denial and blaming. And again, it's not to say that you shouldn't, you know, stand up for yourself, you shouldn't fight for what you believe in. It's just you can still fight for what you believe in and yet have a sense of ownership of why or how you are in a certain situation. Looking at some of the actions that you did take that did lead to where you are. So as I said, you know, the one big step will be, you know, taking responsibility and stop being in denial and blaming. And maybe the first step that shows a glimpse of him realizing that he has to do things differently if he wants different results is a statement that he also made, you know, about the coming year that he has before him. And this was in a Sports Illustrated article. And basically he said, I think 2014 will be a year to rest mentally and physically, prepare myself for the future, and begin a new chapter of my life. You know, so when I read that, I thought to myself, okay, so maybe here's a guy who hasn't gotten it, but maybe he's starting to get it. And, you know, these are all things that he has to, you know, choices that he has to make in his life and decisions that he has to be comfortable with in moving forward. But, you know, again, as he says, you know, and I think in 2014 will be a year to rest mentally and physically and prepare myself for the future. You know, hopefully in that beginning a new chapter of his life, you know, he's feeling that when he comes out the other side, he can sort of, you know, step forward, you know, into a new limelight and take a, you know, new direction with where he's going. Has been a lot of discussion about whether or not he will come back to play, will any team welcome him to play, you know, all these kinds of things. Because one of the things he's done in all of these repercussions of him not only suing Major League Baseball but the Players Union is the Players Union are all the other players, are made up of from all the other players, and if he's pushing back and, again, pointing to them that they have not supported him or had his back, he's going to be setting himself up for a lot of alienation. So the question will be as this all plays out is how he then looks to sort of maybe mend some bridges and, you know, fix those lines, because a lot of players have felt that his pushback is potentially hurting them down the, you know, down the road, and all the repercussions that could come from it with him pushing back. So he's unfortunately alienated a lot of the people around him that potentially could have at least supported him if he had maybe sort of taken a little bit different approach. And as I was saying, you know, that maybe shifting away from that victim energy into looking at maybe a sense of responsibility, a little bit sense of ownership for the fact that maybe I don't have to admit that I've done this, but at least I can take some responsibility for somewhat of how I got here. I can take some responsibility for the people that I have chosen to surround myself with, and taking some responsibility for the fact that some of the people that have been in his life have had questionable backgrounds and have sort of, you know, given some of the evidence for where they've come to. So those were the thoughts I had around the whole Alex Rodriguez piece, and like I said, of how it sort of brought up the thoughts about the feelings, the energy behind it. And it's not just about him sitting out for a whole year, which is obviously, you know, usually only happens when an athlete has an injury. But it's about the deeper repercussions of where he sets up, how we think about the things we do in our own lives, how we think about, you know, everything that takes place. And like I said, just some of these questions for you to think about as you go through your day-to-day life, you know, is how well you value yourself. How worthy do you feel? Does life happen to you? Or are you in charge of your life? And just remember that, you know, the thoughts you have behind it are going to create the feelings which are going to lead to your actions. You know, and do you feel victim to it? Do you take responsibility for it? Do you look for the opportunity? Or are you just happy for the experience? So those are the thoughts I had there on that topic with Alex Rodriguez and again, looking at all of that issue. So I'd like to take a moment to let you know, again, the call-in number if you'd like to call in with any questions or comments are 646-716-9397. And before we move on to the next little piece here, I'd like to promote some of the upcoming shows we have in our Life Coach Radio Network family and empire here. On the Life Coach Radio Network, we have the next show coming up is Sunday, January 19th at 9 p.m., and it's Mark My Words with Certified Life and Business Coach Mark Shaw. Tuesday, January 21st at noon, we have Fund to Fortunes, Entrepreneur Startup Success with Coach Jeff. And on Thursday, January 23rd at noon, we have Walk Your Talk with Leanne. On our International Life Coach Radio Network, we have tomorrow, Saturday, January 18th at noon, Fly Conversation with Annette Johnson, the Fly Coach. And on the Life Coach chat channel, which is where I got my start, it is going to be, the next show is Monday, January 20th at 9 p.m., and it's going to be Believe with Life Coach Angelique Joseph. So those are some of the shows we have coming up on our radio stations here. And I also just want to take one more quick minute to let you know about an awesome opportunity of a in-person live workshop that is being held in New York City on February 8th and 9th. And it is being presented by Life Coach Radio Networks, and it's going to be many of the hosts here on Life Coach Radio Networks. And it's going to be the 2014 New Year, New You Weekend Workshop. Again, that's February 8th and 9th. You'll have the opportunity to meet and learn from the network's popular certified professional coaches and hosts. There's going to be 14-plus interactive workshops that are going to be packed with tools and guidance needed to create the life you want and deserve. Each session is led by an expert certified professional coach and tailored to address a specific topic to help motivate and position you for great success. You can get more information or be able to register for that and get your tickets at radionetworks.com, and that is with an S. That's lifecoachradionetworks.com. And again, you can go there for more information or to register. And I'm happy to say that I will be presenting on Sunday, February 8th at 3 p.m., and we're going to be looking at defining success and what that means to you. So that's going to be the topic I'm going to be looking at on February 9th at 3 p.m., so I'd love to have you there and join me. Again, the number today, if you'd like to call in, is 646-716-9397. So moving on here to the next topic I wanted to get into was, do you have to win a championship to be considered the best? The reason this sort of came up for me was this week, if you're a big football fan or not, you probably have heard, you know, we've got the AFC and NFC championships coming up on Sunday. And the big discussion around is the game versus the Patriots and the Denver Broncos, with Peyton Manning, the quarterback for the Broncos, and Tom Brady for the Patriots. Now, I have to do full disclosure here. I am a huge Patriots fan, and I am a huge Tom Brady fan. So you might be surprised with where I'm going on this discussion, possibly, but I just wanted, like I said, full disclosure that I am a huge Patriots fan. But I thought it was a great topic to get into because there was so much discussion being taken place about the fact that Peyton Manning is considered by many to be the best quarterback ever, greatest quarterback ever, and certainly within the top five. But he has not had the most success in postseason, where Tom Brady, who is also by many considered to be the best quarterback, or at least within the top five, has three Super Bowl rings and has appeared in five total Super Bowls. So a lot of discussion came up around, you know, this game that's going to take place of, does Peyton have to win this game and get to another Super Bowl and win another Super Bowl in order to sort of secure his legacy and solidify the fact that in order to be the best, he's got to win. He's got to win another championship. Because he's got a brother who's Eli Manning, who plays for the Giants, who by many is, you know, considered to be not nearly as talented as Peyton. And for you, those of you Giants fans that are out there, I could feel your pain this year as the Giants didn't have one of their better years, and Eli probably had one of his worst seasons. So you've got Eli Manning, the younger brother, with two championships, two for two in the Super Bowls. And then you've also got Peyton Manning, who is considered, like I said, one of the best, who only has, you know, one Super Bowl ring. So the question comes up, do you have to win to be considered the best? And what does all of that mean? Again, looking at football again, if you're a big, big football fan, Dan Marino is another quarterback who is considered to be one of the top statistical quarterbacks to ever play, superior player, all these things, yet he never even made it to a Super Bowl, never won a Super Bowl. Then there's another one, Jim Kelly, who made it to four Super Bowls, infamous Buffalo Bills, and then never and was 0-4 in those Super Bowls and never won. And there's a lot of people who consider him a loser because he never was able to win the big game, yet he made it to four of them. So to me, again, you know, where and how does this go bigger, deeper than sports? And what are the feelings, the energy behind all this? Is it only about winning and losing? Are we only considered successful in second place, even if it's multiple times? You know, if you're doing a job that maybe doesn't make a lot of money, but you're ridiculously satisfied in that job and have a lot of fulfillment? You know, so these are some of the questions that come up in regards to, do you have to always be on the plus side of the outcome to be considered the best? And also, I guess you would say, to be considered and looked at as successful. And I think one of the first things that has to come up, or question that has to be looked at, is what exactly does success mean? We each have to have our own definition of success. It's actually why I've picked that topic to do in the workshop in New York City with the Life Coach Radio Network group, because I think so many people don't know what their own definition of success is or how they would deem themselves successful. There maybe are some undertones of, we think we know what we want and mean by our success. We think we know what success means to us, and yet every day we're out there chasing potentially a different outcome. We're going down a road that actually doesn't align with our model or definition of success. So that's why I bring that up. You've got to know, what does success mean to me? And does that definition line up with your values? The question is, does it become about the experience, or is it only about the outcome? Because if everything in life were only outcome-driven, then you would have to probably say there's a lot of people, a lot of failures out there, a lot of unsuccessful people. Yet without going into the laundry list of people who have failed multiple times only to come out completely on top, you know, we could spend all day here. If the outcome is the only factor that determines success, then in my opinion, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be probably disappointed more often than not. And I think they're also going to be missing out on a lot of the aspects of the experience that they are partaking in, and are going to miss some of the opportunities as to what value does it bring to their life. What can they really gain from being a part of something versus just focused on the outcome? You know, one of the things that I have often felt with sports coaches, and for those of you who know or don't know, those of you who know me know this, but for those of you who don't, I was a college softball coach for about 22 years and loved doing it. I was a Division I head softball coach. And one of the things that started to I started to really struggle with, which is part of why I started to look for an alternative of what I wanted to do, was when it started to become about winning or losing. When it only became about if you win, you are good, if you lose, you are bad. And I know with the kids and the players I had, these kids gave everything they had. They worked as hard, played games where maybe some of the, you know, we'd be really in a game for five innings and then we couldn't quite, you know, pull out the game and get the W. But they left it all on the field. They were there. They were showing up. It was about the experience. And it was about the effort. And it was about the fact that they could stand tall and look themselves in the face because they gave everything they had to give. They just unfortunately didn't get as many wins as the other teams. So are those kids failures? Absolutely not. A lot of kids. I'm so happy. You know, I've got Vermont State Trooper, a lot of kids who are very, very successful teachers. I don't want to start listing too many because I'll forget somebody and then I'll get a phone call or a text message about, Coach, you didn't mention me. But anyway, one of the other things that I found was going about to the energy in the coaching and sports world, the sports coaching world, was I felt like there was a lot of this energy behind sort of like this conflict energy. In our core energy coaching, we call this like level two energy. It's a catabolic energy of there's a lot of thinking of I win, you lose. Now, obviously in sports, one team wins, one team loses. And it's also about a lot of control, just do it my way. It's because I said so. And coaches, sports coaches, have to have a sense of, you know, yes, this is the way we're doing it. They have to present themselves from a standpoint of, you know, leading their troops, as the phrases are, leading their troops into battle. Yet, unfortunately, I really struggle with the fact that there seem to be like a lot of, you know, there's a lot of anger that can get tied up around it. There's a lot of sense of judgment and blame, and if things don't go, you know, go my way, then it's your fault. Because when you have a career that, you know, for when your job security is based on winning and losing, it makes sense that you'd want to win versus lose. Yet it's the intention behind that feeling, because there can be a lot of anger behind the energy of winning, you know, I win, you lose. You know, and so shifting back into this, do you have to be, you know, you have to win championships to be considered the best, is, you know, goes into that, what determine who's the best? And who are the people that are deciding who's the best? If you look yourself in the mirror every day and you can stand tall and you can feel proud and you can, you know that at the end of the day you can look yourself in that mirror again and realize that you've given everything you have to produce the best results for the day, to give the most of yourself, to be honest, to not look to try to hurt anybody with any sense of intention behind anything that has happened, then isn't that about being the best? And I think, you know, with sports right now, we're headed down sort of this scary road a little bit. It's also why I really am doing the work I'm doing to try to really get some of these messages out there about the fact that, you know, we're going down this slippery slope of it's only win or lose. It's all or nothing. More and more money gets thrown into what we're doing, is getting thrown into, you know, more than means and requires I want more out of you. So, you know, in talking about this Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady, if you ask me, yeah, I'm going to say Tom Brady is the best because, like I said, I'm a Patriots fan. I think Tom Brady has shown the epitome of someone who was an underdog and works as hard today as he did when he was, you know, first became a member of the Patriots and trying to earn that starting position. And so whether Tom Brady had three championships or not, yeah, I still think he's one of the best. Peyton Manning, absolutely. It's a team game, so why does all of it get put on Peyton Manning's shoulders as to he wins, he's great, he loses, he's not? Does he have to win the Super Bowl to legitimize all the work and all the success he has had up to that point? So that's, you know, just something for you to think about and look at things a little bit differently. Look at how that shows up in your life. Look at how you talk to your kids. You know, when your kid has studied really hard for a test and you know they have absolutely poured everything they have into that test and they come home and they only have a C+. Are you going to focus on the C+? Or are you going to focus and look at the fact that you know your child gave it the effort, all the effort that you could ask them to give, and that your child went after it with the best of their abilities? Because when you start to look at you're only focusing on the C+, then you're going to start to create, you know, some of that sense of value and some of that sense of worth that your child's going to start to look at that. So, again, is it the effort behind the studying and the effort of taking the test, or is it going to be the outcome of the grade? And obviously, you know, we're very grade-oriented. We're very, again, win-loss-oriented. We're a very materialistic status symbol society right now. But what message and where does that really lead us as we continue moving forward? There's so many of us out there that are trying to sort of help ease the burdens that so many people are feeling. You know, there's so much anxiety now with everything we're doing that, you know, because we're so caught up in the more, more, more chase kind of philosophy and mentality. You know, and again, does Dan Marino stink because he never won a championship? Absolutely not. Dan Marino is still a fabulous player who just happened to be a part of a team that was never able to win the big or final game. You know, looking back at the Patriots, the year they lost to the New York Giants, and they were 18-0. Their season ended up 18-1, and there are actually people to this day who still believe that the season was a failure. So, you know, again, it's just something to think about. Look at how does your sense of only focusing on the outcome show up in your life? Where do you do it with yourself personally? Where do you do it with your significant other? How does it show up with your kids or your coworkers? If you're only focused on the outcome and you let the effort aspect slide, what does that mean for you in regards to acceptance? How does that show up in regards to developing your own sense of worthiness or someone else's? What does that mean in regards to validation? So these are all questions and things to think about, look at. Look at the energy behind that. If, like I said, going back to that example with the kid with the test, if they come home with that C+, are they walking through the door already with their shoulders slumped a little bit, feeling a little bit of shame because they're not sure if they're going to get that validation? You know, what's that energy that they feel within your house as to whether or not they're going to be accepted? What are the expectations that are being put? You know, so these are all the things that I think about and that come up for me when I look at some of these topics and I look at some of these issues. You know, most people have the discussion Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, good or, you know, who's the best, who has the most championships. No, to me it's about taking that step back and looking at the bigger picture and what it all means for everything we're doing within our lives, because being the best will show up in our workplace, our family lives, as I was saying. So those were just, you know, some thoughts I had in regards to that aspect. And, you know, hopefully you can take that message, take that step back, look at it for yourself. And, you know, and if there's no right or wrong here either. This is not a place of judgment. This is not about anyone feeling good or bad about the decisions you're making. It's just about awareness and creating that sense of how do you look at your own life? How does all this stuff show up for you? And you know, look at those things as you are moving forward. Which actually, with everything we're talking about and looking at that sense of, you know, the question about the test and the, you know, how you react with when your child does something like that, or just like I said, or a coworker or things to that nature, shifting into the kids playing multiple games and who is it really for. This one came up for me this week because I was talking to a friend of mine who has a couple of kids who play youth sports, and they're various ages. They you know, one is in high school, one's a little bit younger. And we were talking about the fact that she's actually going to miss part of the Patriots game because her daughter has a game. But what it led into even a little bit more was the fact that she was going to be – her kids were going to be playing like 5 games in 2 days. And we started talking about the fact that, one, it's just really, really tough because she's not able to then – loses a lot of time for her to be able to do things for herself. And yet also, how much is too much? You know, nowadays in the world of youth sports, it's not enough just to play on your high school teams. If you're not, by many people, if you're not playing on a travel team, which is a team that plays usually year-round or outside of the traditional season time, if you're not playing on a travel team, by many you're considered like you're not really into your sport. You're not that dedicated to your sport. You're not doing all you can to be your best. We're starting to have very fewer and fewer three-sport athletes. We're starting to have athletes who are specializing, and in doing that specialization are starting to end up with injuries, repetitive injuries at far, far younger ages in kids that are 13, 14, 15 years old, which a lot of times some of these repetitive injuries weren't showing up in people into their you know, late 20s, early 30s, adulthood. So it poses this big question of when kids are having to play multiple games in a day, who's it really for? Who's it really all about? Many times you're going to hear it's about the, because I have to get a scholarship. It's about, well, you know, if my kid doesn't do this now, then someone else is going to pass her by or him by. So we have to be there. We have to go, 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 go. And there's a lot of peer pressure. There's a lot of sucking people in to having to go down this road. And yet we're bringing up a generation of kids who don't know downtime. They only think they're, again, talking about their value and their worthiness is if they're doing something, if they're in constant participation, if they're on this travel team versus that travel team. And this also speaks to looking at outcome versus process. What's the ultimate goal? Why is a 12-year-old child playing 3 games on a Saturday and 2 games on a Sunday and have to be, you know, at school Monday morning after having been in the gym all weekend? What's the value behind that? What's the purpose behind that? What's the energy behind that? Who's this really about? Is it for the parent who didn't make the team, the high school team, when they were in high school, so now they're going to push and drive their kid a little bit more? Is it for the parent who thinks if I don't do this or it's the only way for my child to get a scholarship? Is it for if I don't do this now from the child's standpoint, well, then they're never going to get a chance to play again? So these are, you know, some of the questions. When does enough become enough? What is it doing for family life, for social interaction outside of the sports? What happens when you have a child who the only connections and activities they've done through their young life, and we're talking, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, has only been on a certain sports team, and now they're either no longer on that team or they no longer make that team, and all of their social connections have disappeared. That's a very, very traumatic thing to have happen for a 13-year-old. And looking at the fact, again, too, of what does that setting up for us in regards to, you know, in regards to the fact that we're asking kids to do something that we didn't do when we were at that age. you know, it's a sense of, you know, it's a sense of, like I said, all or nothing. And what do we want from this experience? What do we want from a 12-year-old playing multiple games in a day? And I also then speak to the parents here. From a parent standpoint, you know, I've had some discussion with quite a few parents who, you know, are God forbid the parents that have more than one child, because, you know, one child is over here, we've got to bring this one over there. You've got these households with three kids, the two parents, and I actually had a conversation with one parent who, because they had three kids and there was only two of them, their schedules actually did not match up in such a way that they had to find a third person to help them get the third child to the event that they had to go to. So, you know, what dynamic does that set up? Where does the family time, the connection time, the understanding of how to be in downtime? We heard and saw a lot when we had some of the storms that came through the Northeast over the past few years where families were and households were without power for multiples of days, and it was the first time sometimes kids had ever experienced this. They had never maybe played a board game. That families started to all of a sudden reconnect with each other, started to realize that how disconnected they were. And, you know, so again, if we're out there running around, chasing our kids, bringing them here, bringing them there, what's the focus? What's the purpose? What's the intention behind what we're doing? Because one of the other things, too, and we talk about energy a lot, and we look at, you know, the fact that, you know, is there a win-win situation here? Is it I'm doing this out of guilt because I have to do this for my child? Is it for, you know, if I don't do this, my child won't like me, or if my child doesn't do it, she won't have or he won't have any friends? You know, what's the intention behind the why of what you're doing? What is it you're looking to gain? What is it you want your child to gain? And then also being able to take the step back and look at that really big picture of what does it say and where does it set them up when they're 12, 13, and 14, and they're on the go so much, and now they're 18 years old, they're headed off to college, and they've never known what to do with downtime. They've never known anything outside of this go, go, go mentality. You know, so again, it's about what's the energy, the feelings, the thoughts behind all of that. What's the motivation? What are your expectations? What are the expectations that you're looking for and putting on yourself, your child, and that you're hoping to gain from the experience? Because if you're very, very clear into and as to why you're doing something and understand that, is it about the experience again or is it about the outcome, then by all means, go for it. And this is not here to say to anybody you should or shouldn't be doing this. I think travel sports are fantastic. It's actually a large group that I tap into. It's an area where you can get so much personal development. You can get an opportunity to travel. You can get an opportunity to make friends outside of just your town and your neighborhood. So there's so many fabulous experiences from being a part of a travel program and being part of this. Yet again, as I said, you really look at the expectation and the motivation and the values that you're setting behind what it is you're doing. And maybe ask yourself, okay, a year from now, we're not doing this kind of a schedule. What would you do with yourself? Something I was starting to say a few minutes ago and kind of lost my train of thought was going back to the parents and talking to some of these parents that they're so busy running their kids around and driving their kids around to all these places. Parents are having no time to do things for themselves, and I mean that from a standpoint of socialization on their own right. The ability to have the space and time to take a class, whether it be a fitness class or a personal development class or just something that they enjoy, be a part of a book club. Because I had some parents tell me that, oh, wow, I would love to sign up for that program, and this sounds like so, you know, wonderful, something I could really use, but I can't do it because I don't have the time to be there. And another issue that came up, and I think this is one we won't get into too much here today, but, It's the financial burdens that it's putting on families. Sports today has become very expensive because it's no longer, as I said, about being in playing in the recreational teams, the school teams. It's about year-round commitment. And there's a lot of money that has to be paid out in order to be a part of these year-round commitments. And so that's also causing a strain on families in regards to, you know, not maybe having the savings that they have, maybe not putting the money into the retirement that they'd like to, because they're driving their kids around and they're putting all this, you know, all this funding into these programs. And again, I ask, what's the purpose? What's the intention? What's the motivation, the validation? All these different things behind what it is you're looking to do. You know, is it self-focused? Is it about you? Or is it about your child, the neighbors? All of these different kinds of things. What's the motivation behind all these things we're doing? So I know that sort of the topic headline was, you know, kids playing multiple games and who's it really for? But that's really what it is we got to stop and look at. Is who is this really for and what is this really all about? And what are the thoughts and the feelings that are behind all these actions you're taking? What's the energy that you're putting behind driving your kid to be their best? And there's nothing wrong with that. But is it hurting them? Is it hurting you? Is it hurting the family? Where is and does enough become enough? So, you know, again, whenever there's anything you do in life, a couple of things to look at when you're about to make a decision is, first of all, sort of understand the energy that you're in prior to making that decision. And what I mean by that is if you're in a very positive energy, we call it anabolic energy, you're in a place of this is a positive experience, it's about me, it's a win-win attitude, it's about me helping someone else, then when you make that decision, understand that if there's a little bit of shift of energy, you want to stay, you want to stay from the place where you made that decision. But when you're getting ready to look at and make a decision, look at the energy that's behind it. Are you doing it to be validated? Are you doing it to feel worthy? Or are you doing it because of, like I said, there's a win-win opportunity, I could help someone else, or I'm just doing it for the experience? So understand what the energy is behind it. Understand what the motivation is behind it. What is it that you're really looking for? Are you outcome-focused, or are you experience-focused? Are you looking for acceptance, or are you just doing it because, hey, I think this would be an awesome thing to do? What are your values with the decisions you're making in your life from day to day? What are the values that are set up for you? I'd say this is looking at the piece with kids and playing. What are your family values? Are your family values aligning with the actions you're taking? So these are all some of the things that I would encourage you to sort of look at and think about for yourself on your day-to-day life, and how is all of that showing up? Because bottom line, whether you're a single person, you're a single mom, you're a single dad, you're a two-parent family, all of this is about knowing who you are, how you're showing up, energy that you have behind your decisions and the actions that you're taking, and the feelings that are there for you. And, you know, taking some time to reflect on those things and really understand you can only know where you're going by knowing where you are when you start. It'll be like going on a road trip and not really knowing where you're going. So you jump in the car, you have no idea where you want to go. You know where you're starting from, but you have no idea where you want to go. So you just start driving. Well, you're never going to know if you're going to get there. But if you know where you are when you start and you know what it is you want when you get there, you start to follow the path along the way and you start to look at some of these things we've talked about here as to how to follow that path and answer those questions for yourself. So again, I just ask you to just take a few minutes, even if it's every day, get some quiet time, reflect back on how you're showing up. Is it the way you want to be showing up? How is it affecting your life, your immediate family life, your work life, and all those kinds of things? and just take a little bit of a personal inventory for yourself, and ask, are you where you want to be? And if not, what can I do to get to where I want to go? And that's also where I feel like these topics this week sort of, that's what goes on in my mind. That's where and how I come from when I think about things like this, which is why I'm so excited about to do the work I do with athletes and with motivated individuals who, you know, are very active in their lives, because I look at the three topics we talked about today, the A-Rod decision, do you have to be win a championship to be considered the best, and kids playing multiple games, and who's it really for? I go into that deeper level. I look at it from that deeper place. So that's just a little insight as to how and why I got to where I went to with this topic this week. And I really, really hope you enjoyed it. And it was amazing how quickly this time went by. It always amazes me how quickly this time goes by. So I want to quickly wrap up and tell you about some of, again, the upcoming shows we have in our network, and then also about when I will be on again. And I thank you for listening, like I said, to my show today. But coming up, we have on the Life Coach Radio Network, on Sunday, January 19th at 9 p.m., Mark My Words with Certified Life and Business Coach Mark Shaw. On Tuesday, January 21st at noon, Fund of Fortunes Entrepreneur Startup Success with Coach Jeff. Thursday, January 23rd at noon, Walk Your Talk with Leanne. On the International Life Coach Radio Network, tomorrow, Saturday, January 18th at noon, is Fly Conversation with Annette Johnson, the Fly Coach. And then on the Life Coach Chat Channel, the next show is Monday, January 20th at 9 p.m., and it is Believe with Life Coach Angelique Joseph. And also, just to remind you, we have a great in-person workshop coming up, 2014 New Year, New You Weekend Workshop presented by Life Coach Radio Networks. You'll have the opportunity to meet and learn from the network's popular certified professional coaches and hosts. There will be 14 interactive workshops that are packed with tools and guidance needed to create the life you want and deserve. And I will be one of the presenters at this workshop, and I will be presenting on Sunday, February 9th at 3 p.m., and my topic is going to be defining success and what it means to me, sort of exactly what we were all talking about here today, and really taking a look at how you define success. Does your definition of success lead you to where you want to go, and so on. So to find out more and how you can register for the 2014 New Year, New You Weekend Workshop, you can go to LifeCoachRadioNetworks.com, and that is with an S, LifeCoachRadioNetworks.com, for more information or to register. So again, I'd like to thank you for joining me here today. My next show will be Friday, February 7th at noon, when I welcome Rick Clemens, the coming out coach, as we discuss how Russia's law against gays and lesbians and the effect it may have on the gay athletes who are competing in the Winter Olympics, as well as discussing how being a gay athlete is difficult and the issues they face. And you can reach me. My website is coachmandy.com. My email is mandy@coachmandy.com. I can also be found on Facebook at Inner Winning Coaching, and also on Twitter at Life Coach Mandy. And I want to thank you all for joining me here today, and thank you for listening. Now go out there and have a great weekend, and I will talk to you on February 7th. And remember to ignite your inner greatness so you can live and play fearless, focused, and free. Take care, everyone.